Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you've ever taken part in a surprise party, you know the excitement and anticipation that goes with such an event. Everyone gathers to await the arrival of the guest of honor. Family and friends stand quietly near the door. Some even peek out the windows, ready to pass the word, "They're here!" A certain eager tension fills the air that is focused on a single moment, that moment of arrival. This same anticipation, tension-filled and single-minded, is what our text says of concerning the arrival of Jesus. It is the day we, who have salvation in Christ, eagerly look forward to. We are awaiting for the new heavens and a new earth in which the righteousness of Christ dwells forever. When He returns, all He has promised will finally be fulfilled and the everlasting feast of His glory will begin. Yet not everyone is looking forward to the return of Christ. For the new creation to be perfect in holiness, this heaven and earth will have to pass away. And they who dwell in it, that is those who are not of Christ, will die in a like manner. When Christ returns in the day of our salvation, it will be the day of judgment for the world. All that is found to be outside of Christ will be condemned, and will spend eternity separated from Christ, cut off from the very source of life and every good thing Himself, confined to a place where there is only dying, but never any death. For that reason, Christ calls His disciples to live in the anticipation of His second coming, so that we stay alert and are not led astray into unbelief. He has even given us the signs that we may know His day approaches. Some have tried to pinpoint that day according to the signs, yet that is not the reason He gave them. So each and every time they try, they fail. Apparently, they have forgotten our Lord's words. No one knows about that day or that hour. Jesus tells us about the signs, not so that we can calculate the day, month, or even year of His coming, but instead to keep us from being spiritually lethargic and lazy. When we see a false teacher or religion arise, or an earthquake shake the ground, or wars and famines in the land, we hear Jesus say, "Wake up! Repent! I'm about to bring all my words to fulfillment. Get yourselves ready for my coming." Be on guard, the Lord tells His disciples. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Yet how often do we neglect God's sending of Christ the second time, a central teaching of the faith? We often act like He will never return, even with the signs all around us. Jesus knew it would be all too easy for us to get caught up in the temporary things of this world, those things which are only passing away, and to forget to keep our eye on the one thing that truly matters, Christ alone. How often do you think of His return? Back in seminary, I would occasionally think of it right before a test. "You know, Lord, now would be a perfect time for You to come again." Usually, though, too many days go by when we don't give it a single thought. Honestly, would you do half the things that you do if you were convinced that Jesus could return in any moment and catch you red-handed? It's like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows or in the morning. lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. Or in other words, find you doing and saying the things that you shouldn't be doing and saying. How many of you would be pleased to come home from a business trip, and after putting your teenage child in charge of the home, be pleased to find that they have rearranged all the furniture, ignored taking care of their brother or sister, run up your debit or credit cards, sold off the family heirlooms to buy their own junk, to let their friends come in and eat all of your food, to have trashed the place, and to be playing house with their boyfriend or girlfriend? Yet how often do we treat the very things of Christ, His Word, His teaching, His faith, His prayers, His sacrament, His fellowship, His church, His ministry, His resources, and all that are His, in much the same way, as if they are our own things to play with, to treat as we desire, and to do whatever we want with them? That we are free to ignore parts completely, or embellish other parts with our own ideas, or to rationalize away others, instead of recognizing that it all belongs to Christ, the Master, and is only given to us to faithfully work and steward while He is away. From daily devotions in His Word, to teaching our children His teaching, to the way we worship and practice His faith, to how we petition the Lord with His prayers, to gathering together on Sunday morning to receive His sacrament, to our communal life together in His fellowship, as we daily dwell in His church, doing the work of His ministry by using His resources. These things are not up to us to do with as we wish, but they all belong to Him. We are but stewards of His grace, and anything that is found to not be in Him or of Him is under judgment already. This is why the entire epistle of Jude is written to the saints. He writes in his letter, "I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our Lord into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. These people, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones." Jude says that they are not in Christ, even though they find themselves among His holy body. He warns, "They are hidden reefs at your love feast, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by the winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever." It is against these people, the people that take the things of Christ and make it their own, that Jude declares, Christ comes to execute His judgment. This is why the signs of His coming are so important for us. They remind us of the seriousness of our offense and cause us to repent. And when we do, we receive His forgiveness so that we may be on guard and that we may keep awake so that we are not deceived and swept away into judgment with the unbelievers. As believers, Jude says, you must remember the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. As believers, we have been given what is His to work and to keep, to share His salvation with the world, not so that we may do with it as we please, but so that we may build each other up in the most holy faith. For the whole reason of Christ's coming, both His first and His second, is to save and not condemn. He did not willingly offer Himself up on the cross so that we may pass away with the world, but that we may receive His salvation and dwell with Him forever in righteousness, blessedness, and peace. Until that time He returns, He has left us in charge, each with our work, to faithfully keep the Master's house while He is away. Doing so means to contend for the faith. As Paul says, it is through the Word that we receive faith and are saved. Therefore, we hate every garment stained by the flesh, that is, every word and deed that does not proceed from the mouth of Christ, but stems from our own sinful vanity. By contending for the faith, we have mercy on those who doubt, by speaking the truth in patience and in love, and we save others by snatching them out of the fire, by showing them where their only hope lies. In Jesus Christ our Lord, who died for them and rose again. When we contend for the faith by being faithful stewards of what belongs to Christ, we give a clear confession of the One who came to save and who will come again to make all things new, that the number of those who eagerly wait with us for the new heavens and a new earth is increased. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep you in the one true faith until He comes again. Amen.